You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 8th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're catching us instead over the app or on social media or by podcast, we appreciate you being here to kick off your Tuesday as well. I got a question for you. Are those rainbow crosswalks dangerous to traffic? Or are they simply dangerous to the fragile sensibilities of the less tolerant among us? That's one of the topics we will be covering on the program this morning because, you see, America's air traffic control system is a mess. It's fragmented, lots of old equipment. It's going to take many years, many billions of dollars to upgrade. And Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy could spend his entire workday on that project alone, not to mention the nation's many other critical transportation needs. But if you'll excuse him, the secretary is very busy right now declaring war on sidewalks that have LGBTQ-supported rainbow colors in them. We will talk about his letter to the nation's governors coming up on the program today. We also cover the far northwest and southwest corners of the state. In our 7 o'clock hour, we will talk to State Representative Jenna Jacobson about her newly announced campaign for a state Senate seat currently held by the Republican co-chair of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. Then we'll go up north to visit with Superior Mayor Jim Payne about lead water pipe removal, the Blatnick Bridge project, and using goats to get rid of buckthorn. I would have the mayor of Superior on just to talk about goats eating buckthorn, but we'll get to some of those other matters as well. Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV Newswatch 12 in Rhinelander will tell us what's new in his neck of the woods. Then in our 8 o'clock hour, there are those who describe the new Wisconsin state budget, quickly adopted last week by the legislature, as the least bad option given the split between Democratic Governor Tony Evers and majority Republicans. But others believe Democrats didn't fight hard enough for more, since GOP leaders needed Democratic votes to pass a budget due to some far-right holdouts. So there are a lot of layers to peel back from this legislative onion. And we will do that with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. And a reminder, Thursday morning at 7:30, we'll have our monthly visit with Congressman Mark Pocan. I got a feeling that there will be things to talk about from that Trump big bloated boondoggle that got passed last week. Along the way, of course, you can send us a text message using the Civic Media app. You can also text 855-75-CIVIC or you can use the comment sections on the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. We might pop that up on screen. You can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And, of course, on that Civic Media app, you can also send us a voice note. You go to any of the radio stations on the Civic Media app, you can press the text button to send us a message or press the voice note feature to send us a message. And, of course, if you miss an episode, you should subscribe to us by a podcast as well. Head over to Spotify or to Apple or wherever you get your podcasts and get subscribed to the show. From meteorologist Brittany Merlot, a low-pressure system heads into Wisconsin today, but behind it, another dry and comfortable few days, all ahead of more heavy rain that'll threaten parts of the state right before the weekend. So for today, showers and thunderstorms likely this morning. More are possible this afternoon, especially in the eastern half of the state. Highs in the mid-70s up north to near 85 in the south, and a south wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. For tonight, partly cloudy, patches of fog all throughout the state. Lows in the mid-50s up north to the low 60s south with calm winds. And the radar right now shows a line of thunderstorms and rain has just started to develop in the past half hour or so, roughly stretching from the Toma area up into Wisconsin Rapids, Stevens Point, Wausau, Merrill, up to the Eagle River area. It's a rather thin line just getting its start right now, so I can't say if it will build or not. And then there's another area of rain and thunder showers that appears to be moving across the northern suburbs or just north of the Milwaukee area. So depending on where you're doing your driving today, you might have to be prepared for some wet road conditions. Conditions are far from that. They are dry in Madison Studio A2, where we find Parker Olson continuing to stand by and turn the dials and flip the switches that make this show go from here to over there. Mr. Olson, how are you?
Doing pretty good. I'm having a good time throwing the signal out to the world. It's a lot of hard work.
Yeah. Yes, this button goes like this, and away we go. So it's not a little different. It's a lot different than, you know, once upon a time when, you know, radio stations, I think it would blow some people away to tell them that radio and TV stations did not always broadcast 24 hours. You know, there was a sign on and there was a sign off, and sign on was a bit of a process. You had to turn the transmitter on or whatever. And, you know, you literally had to throw some switches and wait for things to warm up. And then at the end of the day, you know, whether it was midnight or 1 a.m. or whatever, you know, stations would play the Star Spangled Banner and then go quiet for the night. And that hardly happens anywhere anymore. I mean, because you can always just roll show. We rolled some of today's shows in the overnight hours.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, actually, because I don't remember what it was, but there was something that I saw, I think, on Twitter the other day of a channel like signs off, and it was in Canada, so they play O Canada when they sign on. And I didn't know that was a thing, that you play the national anthem when you sign on or off.
Yes, yes.
That was news to me, and I was like, huh, that's a little weird, but I guess, sure.
Yeah, I mean, once upon a time, you know, there were maybe three TV stations that you could get and a couple of radio stations, and everybody went to bed at night. And now we have a world now where you're doing things 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Again, old man alert here. But on Sundays, almost everything used to be closed. You couldn't do anything on Sundays except, you know, go to church, spend time with your family, relax, things like that. But now we want instant convenience all the time. So more people are working overnights than ever before and on the weekends. And there are times I definitely think it would be great if we could all collectively just sign off and say, everybody get some rest. We'll pick it up again in the morning.
That'd probably do some people some good, yeah.
It would do people some good, but I fear that stuff is not happening anytime soon. You have to get your relaxation where you can get it. I got mine watching the Brewers game last night, and boy, was that fun. Just stomping on the Dodgers. What?
That's not something you expected.
No. Did you see Andrew Vaughn and his home run?
I think I fell asleep during
it was pretty early in the game.
Yeah, that might have.
All right.
I was awake in like the third inning.
Welcome to the Brewers, Andrew Vaughn, the team's newest addition, hit a three-run homer in his first plate appearance with the Brewers as they trounced the Los Angeles Dodgers Monday night 9-1. The backstory goes like this. Do you remember starting pitcher Aaron Civale?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of do. We got him from Tampa Bay about a year ago, and last month he was pulled from the starting rotation to make room for Jacob Mizorowski. And not wanting to be a relief pitcher, Civale requested a trade to a team where he could be a starter. And then in one of the greatest passive-aggressive moves in baseball history, the Brewers said, okay, you want to trade? You can trade. They sent him to the lowly Chicago White Sox. And we got one of their few good players, Andrew Vaughn, and thus last night's home run. So thanks, Aaron Civale, and your ego.
I will say, I think that situation was really well handled.
It was extremely well handled.
I think he was totally within his rights to go, you know what? I want to be a starting pitcher. Please trade me. I think that's totally fine. I think it's hilarious that the Brewers sent him to the White Sox.
Hope he's happy.
And he also has like a 4.290 ERA there.
Careful what you wish for. Freddy Peralta, meanwhile, threw six shutout innings for the Brewers. He struck out seven. He allowed five hits and one walk. Christian Yelich had a two-run homer for Milwaukee. And for me, the big thing, the whoa moment, was the Dodgers starting pitcher, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who lasted just two-thirds of an inning.
Yeah.
Pulled your starting pitcher in the first inning down 5-0 already. And again, the Brewers go on to win that one by a score of 9-1. And that was all last night. Tonight, who knows? Tonight's, this too, should be fun for the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw, the newest member of the 3,000 strikeout club, faces Brewers rookie, the aforementioned Jacob Mizorowski. Clayton Kershaw, Jacob Mizorowski. If the game isn't sold out by now, Milwaukee, what's wrong with you? I think it may be sold out by now.
It might be, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be, which, again, you would not expect. Hey, a Tuesday night game, you know, at American Family Field, a Tuesday night game might get you, you know, 12,000 people sometimes if the team's not doing that great.
Yeah.
They're going to have many more than 12,000 people on a Tuesday night.
I think so, yeah. I think it was like 35,000 last night, and mm-hmm. that was for, I mean, good pitching, but
yeah,
not
but this.
Not this, this, yeah. Headliners.
Now again, we built it up last week with Mizorowski, and you know, it wasn't a dueling no-hitters or anything like that, but anytime you get to watch this kid pitch and against a now, you know, easy Hall of Fame inductee in Clayton Kershaw, you got to watch this. Or, in the case of Civic Media folks, you got to listen to this. Right. And the game is on the radio. Pre-game starting at 6:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. So get yourself over to the Civic Media website to learn much more about that. So that's how I have been planning to relax last night and again this evening. Though I have to confess that over the weekend, I have a new form of relaxation, and my other forms of relaxation are getting jealous.
Oh boy!
Because I've got the Jeep that I can drop the top on, and that's always nice to go for a drive. I've got the pontoon to go out along the lake. But I have noticed that this new hammock that I got, I've had hammocks for the whole 30 years that we've been living here alongside the lake, but mostly they've been of that cargo net variety, you know, and strung between two trees, and they're great. Don't get me wrong, nothing wrong with that, but this one is more. This is a fabric instead,
yeah,
and it's a double instead of a single, and so that when you sit in it, the two sides of the cloth hammock kind of come up and almost turn you into a cocoon while you're in the hammock.
Oh, I know you like that.
I grabbed one of those airline, you know, travel pillows that kind of wrap around your neck, you know, brought that into the hammock, and I don't know how I get out of that.
You're getting too comfy, Pat. You're going to get lost in there one day.
I was a couple of neighbors came by on Sunday afternoon on a bicycle for two, I hasten to add. You know, just comes riding right around the house, right into the backyard, yelling, you know, get out of that hammock. And then, of course, I had to try to gracefully exit the hammock.
Which you can't.
Which at my age is no longer a possible thing to do. But fortunately, my friend did not mock me nearly to the degree that I might have mocked him in return. And that's why he's a better friend than I am.
It's good that you surround yourself with good people, Pat.
Yes, but I am absolutely pleading guilty to having a new love, a new favorite form of relaxation. And then you put the Brewer game on the radio, on your phone, and put that on your chest. Oh, it's the best. Life is good up here in America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota. Thank you for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
So if you missed it off the top, still ahead, State Representative Jenna Jacobson on running for state Senate, Superior Mayor Jim Payne. We'll have Dan Hagen from WJFW-TV, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and much more coming up along the way. Roger from Stevens Point puts on Facebook that we still have AM radio stations that would reduce power at sundown. True, not quite a sign off, but definitely a lower range. Let's see, Alicia puts up on YouTube, oh, Pat, you have to see this flock of geese looking like they're coming into work. They're not actually following you. I mean, they may follow you, but you're not going to like what they leave on your car after work. And yes, Tony, writing on YouTube, this does, in fact, sound like an all-star guest list. John on YouTube saying, I wonder why Democrats didn't vote for the budget. Let's see. And I don't know if he's specifically referencing state or federal. Alicia responds, John, every Democrat who voted against the budget released a statement on why they voted the way that they did. That's true. And it reminds me of a story that I saw about things that we are still finding in the mega bill, the big bloated boondoggle. I mentioned one of them during this hour yesterday with Dr. Kristen Lyerly that, again, it was never talked about, but that it removed some of the prescription drugs for which Medicare could negotiate better pricing, could do bulk pricing. And Republicans, just in a huge giveaway to Big Pharma, exempted a whole bunch of drugs so that you have to pay more. And not just you, if you're on Medicare, all of us end up paying more as a result of Republicans saying, nope, no price negotiation for you guys. But there's more in there. From the American Prospect, they looked at, what did they call it? 10 bizarre things hidden in Trump's bill. There is, for example, incentivizing fraud in SNAP. You see, one of the ways they write that Republicans cut the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program is by forcing states to shoulder more of the program's cost. But in the Senate, Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski got a 2-year exemption for states with erroneous payment rates of 13% or more, which includes her home state of Alaska, which has the highest payment error rate in the nation. Now, they didn't just carve it out for Alaska, because to comply with budget reconciliation rules, they had to extend this exemption to the states with the 10 highest error rates. This is literally incentivizing states to increase waste and fraud in the program. And the magazine notes, seriously, liberal states would be wise to make their SNAP program as sloppy as possible right now. I mean, they're not going to do it, but that just tells you the ridiculousness that was in this bill. One of the few gun regulations that still exists is a tax on silencers. It has existed for almost 100 years and sits at $200. Or it did, until now. Republicans repealed the extra tax on gun silencers. There is a tax reduction on oil drillers. There's a handout for Chinese steel companies. At a time when Republicans are constantly telling us about debt and we can't afford things like basic health care, they do include a $40 million appropriation to the National Endowment for the Humanities to requisition statues for a Garden of Heroes in Washington, D.C. I mean, that's just Kim Jong-un territory right there, to have a Garden of Heroes. And then there's this odd one, a tax on gambling winnings. Republicans changed the tax rules around gambling to limit the amount of losses that could be deducted to just 90%. So if you go to Vegas, you win $10,000 one day and you lose $10,000 the next, you're still on the hook for $1,000 in winnings. You could end up owing tax even if you lost money while gambling. Just strange. And then there's an unlimited state and local tax deduction, which again is going to cost us $35 to $40 billion over the next decade. There is a tax break in there for Puerto Rican rum. You've got Donald Trump saying he wants to get rid of the CHIPS Act, which incentivizes domestic production of semiconductors. But the bill actually increases CHIP subsidies, Because, again, it's pretty clear that congressional Republicans knew that Donald Trump isn't really paying attention to any of this. And there's a lot that they put in there, including, of course, these massive Medicaid cuts, even though Trump said, you know, we don't want to see big Medicaid cuts. But they're in there, along with so much more. And that's just one article that took a look at the crazy things in the bill. The one from the party that said they hated big bills sure passed a big giant one here. I would recommend highly to you an article in yesterday's New York Times about farmers in Kansas, because it would apply here too, to a degree. The headline is "From Food Aid to Dog Chow, How Trump's Cuts Hurt Kansas Farmers." Talking about the Food for Peace program, a post-war program that enabled farmers in Kansas and, of course, all of the Midwest to feed the world as it recovered from war, and continues to provide global markets for American agricultural products. It was created by a Republican president, Dwight Eisenhower. It has sent food to more than 4 billion people in 150 countries around the world, and Trump just killed it. It's gone, and Kansas farmers are just starting to add up the cost of all the markets that have been lost, and cannot believe that this measure was included in the bill. They feel like they were lied to. They feel like they were double-crossed. And it leads to a whole debate about how we should respond when people who supported Trump get burned, which we'll talk about a little later. But first, the Midwest Farm Report, and then more conversation here live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Welcome back. It is 6:35 on this Tuesday morning, July 8th. Nice to have you here live from Lake Wissota across the Civic Media Radio Network. Before the break, we were talking about a New York Times article called, it wasn't called "What's the Matter with Kansas?" That was my shorthand for it, was, you know, what's the matter with Kansas? And of course, the easy punchline is that they voted for Donald Trump and now reaping what they sow. And in this particular instance, it was about the killing of a couple of popular programs. One was Food for Peace. The other was the McGovern-Dole International Food for Education and Child Nutrition Program, named for the former Kansas Senator, the late Bob Dole. Food for Peace allowed countries to buy American farm products in their local currency, and then the U.S. would spend those proceeds inside those countries on development grants. So our farmers get a market for their crops. We get a good price for that. And then instead of taxpayers paying to subsidize development projects around the world, we simply take their own money that they just used to purchase American farm products to assist. It was as win-win as it gets. And last year, for example, the article says, Kansas sold half of its annual wheat crop to other countries, but those buyers have almost entirely dried up. And at least one big grain broker is now trying to sell Kansas grain that once fed people overseas for use in dog food instead. It's one of the few markets left for surplus crops. One farmer, Vance Emke, said, for a small farm that's got 1,000 acres of wheat with a modest yield of 45 bushels an acre, if you lose a dollar a bushel, that's $45,000 of income that has just vanished. And he said that's if wheat goes down a dollar a bushel. Since February, wheat has gone down $1.50 a bushel. We talk a lot about the tariffs and the consumer products that we'd find on shelves, but we have to keep in mind as well that what Trump has done to agricultural products through his trade war has also done tremendous damage. But I want to make this one note, and I want to be clear about this. Don't use a broad brush to disrespect the many farmers and rural residents who tried to sound the alarm to their neighbors. Every time I hear someone say farmers, quote unquote, deserve to suffer or even fail for supporting Trump. It's a reminder that our modern day loss of empathy is not restricted to one end of the political spectrum. It is not going to be easy to win back what used to be Democratic strongholds in rural America. And it's going to take more than restoring U.S. trade with our partners. It's going to take being more involved in antitrust and breaking up corporate monopolies, which are punishing our farmers. It's going to involve messaging that is firmer on the need for tolerance and communicating values of inclusion and brotherhood or sisterhood. It's going to involve confronting racial and sexual bigotry in a way that is unwavering, but also informative. And those are some hard conversations. And it's one I've talked about a lot where people say, well, Democrats, you know, they're always talking about the trans community and that's losing them rural votes. But it's not Democrats who are bringing it up. It's Republicans who are doing the bullying and the Democrats are standing up to the bullies. And what's the alternative? Not stand up to the bullies? So there needs to be these increasing messages about the importance of fairness and inclusion, but also to show them who's really on their side, who doesn't want their rural hospitals to close, who does not want to take away their markets. And so I hope more people would take and share that particular article from the New York Times yesterday about just one example of what's happening with Kansas and rural America writ large. Let's talk about the nation's air traffic control system for a moment and Sean Duffy and what he could be spending time on versus what he is spending time on. You see, the nation's air traffic control system is a mess, and it's been a mess for a long time. It's big. It's unwieldy. It's got many, many moving parts. And the fact that it still works as well as it does is, frankly, a modern miracle, but there's no reason to be complacent about it. And multiple presidential administrations have talked about the need to make upgrades or replacements in some situations, knowing full well that it's going to cost a lot of money, knowing full well that you're dealing with a Congress that was passing austerity budgets, to put it mildly. Congressman Sean Duffy among them when he represented Northern Wisconsin in the U.S. House of Representatives. But now that he is Transportation Secretary and things are really starting to fall apart, now he wants to be a champion and has been crowing that the new bill passed last week includes $12 billion for upgrades to our air traffic control system, which is fine, but estimates say it's going to take about $31 billion to get all the work done. And frankly, it just reminds me of the case of maybe allowing a home to fall into disrepair. And then finally, there's some kind of a big problem. And now when you fix it, when you address that problem, suddenly you're a hero, even though you're the one who helped things fall into disrepair in the first place. The latest example is that the FAA last week transitioned at Newark to a new fiber optics communications network between New York and Philadelphia. You might recall there was a series of technology disruptions at Newark earlier this year, and there could have been a catastrophe at some point. Sean Duffy pounded his fist on his desk and said, "We need to do something about it right now," and he was right there at the ribbon cutting, metaphorically, for this new fiber optic system, taking credit for it, something that had been in the works for a while and that only got accelerated in light of, you know, recent problems. But as usual, some of the folks that were resisting the solution are the ones who love to show up at the groundbreakings and the ribbon cuttings. And that, again, is just one piece of the puzzle. There is so much more that Sean Duffy could be doing. Instead, Sean Duffy has sent a letter to the nation's governors about rainbow sidewalks and how it could lead to traffic dangers. From the Advocate magazine, as Americans crowd highways and airports for peak summer travel, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy has announced a sweeping new national initiative that could put rainbow-painted crosswalks and broader debates over how cities express their identity squarely in the federal spotlight. In the letter on Tuesday, Duffy urged governors nationwide to comply with a new Trump program aimed at eliminating, quote-unquote, distractions from non-freeway arterial roads. Duffy wrote, "Roads are for safety, not political messages or artwork." Is this a problem? Well, under the Biden administration, where we started to see these rainbow crossings, estimated traffic fatalities went down last year about 4% compared to the year before. But Duffy said, well, that's still 39,000 traffic deaths, and that remains unacceptable. And he pressed states to identify their hazardous roads within 60 days. And yet, what defines a distraction is far from settled. And the article then goes on to talk about not just the aesthetics of the colorful sidewalks, but also the local control over having both safety and civic pride in some form or another. The article says that at the heart of Duffy's push is a long-running federal insistence on uniformity. But I don't get it. I heard that whenever we talked about uniformity, that was big government coming down on us. Is Sean Duffy now on the side of big government? I mean, there was a memo during the Obama administration from the Federal Highway Administration that warned that crosswalk art might degrade the contrast of the white markings and give pedestrians a false sense of security, but that there could also be added aesthetic treatments, things like reflective properties and other ways to increase safety. But still, there is a lack of any direct research showing that rainbow crosswalks cause any crashes. But it is the thing that Sean Duffy is spending some time on in the latest of the many instances of the Trump administration having a real problem leaving people alone. We talked about this yesterday with the Minocqua Brewing Company and Kirk Bankstead and how the local government up there and the courts and the local newspaper just can't help but turning him into a punching bag because he's not a wallflower about his politics, and how everyone would be better off if you just let people have their disagreements rather than spoiling for fights and making stuff up. Or maybe we should put it in transportation terms for Sean Duffy. Stay in your lane. It is 6:45 right now. If you missed it before the big sports event this week for Wisconsin would be the Milwaukee Brewers taking on the LA Dodgers. Coverage is going to start at 6:05 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Olson, I have a question for you. Are you, by chance, a Jurassic Park fan? Have you seen the movies? Fan of the movies?
I think I've only seen the original one.
Okay.
I think. I do like the original one, yeah. Okay. But I've never cared enough to watch any of the new ones. Have you seen the new ones?
I've seen none of them. Okay. I'm just not, you know, some people, they love the dinosaur stuff. I never, you know, as a kid, I had friends who were all about dinosaurs, and that was just never me. So I've seen bits and pieces of movies here and there, but okay. That's about it. Anyway, I asked because I didn't know if you were racing to see the new one, Jurassic World Rebirth, with Scarlett Johansson. The box office figures from the first opening weekend are in, and the movie made $318 million. Not bad.
I was going to say, I don't pay enough attention to movies to know, have a frame of reference of how good that is. I imagine that's okay.
It's a very good start, yes. And no, nobody else wanted to compete with it. No other movies were released. F1, you know, was already starting to fall down the movie charts. And, of course, now people are getting set for the next big one, which would be Superman, which I guess is opening up, yeah, this weekend. So what about Superman? Is that one that has interested you?
I don't think I've ever seen any Superman.
You've never seen any of the Superman movies?
I don't think any. I've never been a superhero in general guy.
Oh, so not the Marvel Cinematic Universe either?
Not real. I had a girlfriend in high school that made me watch some, but that was about it.
Okay. Made you watch some. Yeah. Tony writes, Chris Pratt was pretty good in the new ones. I'd imagine Scarlett Johansson will be good. And goes on to say, sounds like you need Pete Schwabe for this segment.
Yes, it does.
Hey, Tony, couldn't agree more. Pete's not an early riser, but if we could get Pete Schwabe in here to talk about these things, you betcha we would. Anyway, the F1 was the number two at the box office this past weekend. It's now raised about $110 million. Third place went to Universal's How to Train Your Dragon, which earned $11 million in its fourth weekend. How to Train Your Dragon's already brought in $224 million. Disney Pixar's Elio was in fourth place. It has crossed $96 million. And then there's that 41-year-old movie, the re-release of Rob Reiner's This is Spinal Tap, also made the top 10 for this past week, which I think is hilarious. Huh. Today's history lesson is coming up next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
We are going back 53 years to the number one song this day in 1972. This is Bill Withers.
Sometimes in our lives, we all have
Lean On Me was a number one hit this day in 1972. Had a funky little remake by Club Nouveau in, what, the late 80s, I think it was. On this day in 1958, the recording industry gave out its first ever gold album. The gold album standard now is sales of over 500,000 units. That first gold album went to the soundtrack of Oklahoma.
Yeah. There we go.
like how you laugh about that. Oklahoma, that was a big popular show and a movie back in the late 50s.
What I think of when I hear Oklahoma is that my brother did Oklahoma in high school.
Oh, he did? Okay,
yeah.
So they're still doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Good. And?
That's just all.
I thought your brother did something with it, but
well,
okay, he was simply in Oklahoma.
He did have to learn how to use a lasso, which was a very fun, like, 2 months.
Oh, I'll bet it was. Which, you know, again, we laugh at that, but, you know, one of my daughters moved to Idaho, and in Idaho, I mean, they have high school rodeo teams.
Yeah.
So,
that's,
you know,
cool. That's so cool.
It is. I love this country. There's just so many different things everywhere. On this day in 1954, disc jockey Dewey Phillips at WHBQ in Memphis became the first DJ ever to play an Elvis Presley song when he spun this platter.
Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right.
And then something happened at WHBQ in Memphis. The phones lit up and said, play that song again and again. And it was some of the first ever publicity for the young singer. And the rest, as they say, is history.
Wow.
Now, that was this day in 1954. 3 years later, on this day in 1957, Elvis Presley had the number one song in the country with Let Me Be Your Teddy Bear. For this next one, forgive me, I've got to look up where the Dow Industrials closed yesterday. I forgot to grab that ahead of time here. Let's see. There they are. The Dow closed yesterday at 44,406. Okay, keep that in mind. 44,406. On this day in 1932, the Dow Jones Industrial Average reached its lowest level of the Great Depression, closing at 41.22.
Oh.
41, not 44,406.
I was expecting 41,000 at least.
Nope, 41. No. That's it. On this day in 1981, the Go-Go's released their debut album. That album was titled Beauty and the Beat. It would reach number one in the album chart, becoming the first by an all-female band to do so with hits like this one.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
It was really novel, I got to tell you. And this 44 years ago. It's not that long ago. But it was kind of, people were like, wait, they play all their own instruments and sing and they're really good too? Like,
what is this wizardry?
I know. On this day in 1978, after a disco-rific 6 months on top of the album chart, the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack was finally bumped off by Jerry Rafferty's new album, City to City. The number one song 30 years ago today, in 1995, was by TLC. For TLC, it was their second ever number one song. About 6 months earlier, they had Creep go to the top of the charts. On this day in 1776, church bells were rung following the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. Something Kristen Lyerly just talked about yesterday was she was in Boston for a public reading of the Declaration of Independence and ringing the church bells.
I gotta get started on that podcast.
This one hits a little hard now, even a little more than a year later. I would love to tell you that Toby Keith it would be celebrating his 64th birthday today, but I can only tell you that the late Toby Keith was born this day in 1961. I should have learned to roll around wearing my six. Toby Keith Covell was born in Clinton, Oklahoma this day in 1961. He worked in the oil fields and for a rodeo company before launching his music career in his 30s. Singer Joan Osborne is 63 years old today. She had the hit What If God Was One of Us. Beck is 55 years old today. He was born Beck David Campbell in Los Angeles this day in 1970. And children's singer Raffi is 77 years old today, which is not going to hit with everybody, by no means. But it's one of those, if you know, you know. If you're in that group of parents for whom, you know, long before tablets and computers and smartphones, that Raffi was practically a babysitter for your kids. We'd put those girls, you know, we'd put that VHS cassette in of one of the Raffi shows. Kids love that man, the bearded minstrel, we called him. He just such a soothing voice, such nice songs, just such a nice guy, like a Mr. Rogers type.
Sure.
And is still active to this day. But again, Raffi, 77 years old today. Happy birthday, and thank you for many calming hours of parenthood back in the day. All right, this is National Ice Cream Sundae Day. Do you have a favorite ice cream sundae?
Oh, I don't know. You know what? The other day, we wanted to get blizzards, and we realized that there's not a PDQ anywhere near us.
You're right. Yeah,
it's kind of upsetting.
You got to fix that. Yeah. Let's see. It's National Blueberry Day, and it's July. We're going to run this baby into the ground. Are you aware of your lasagnas? You should, because it's still Lasagna Awareness Month.
Where is it? It's everywhere.
Do you use a metal pan? Do you use a glass pan? Did you ever forget to spray the aluminum foil before you put it over the top with the cheese? More in our next hour, live on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlaw.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.